I've got a message titled, Yes, You Can, today. So why don't you touch your neighbor on the shoulder, look to the neighbor and say, Yes, you can. Now turn your other neighbor and point at yourself and say, Yes, I can. The Lord reminded me of a message that I shared with you some time ago on the importance of taking time to visualize. And he wanted me to expound on it today because he felt like I didn't maybe communicate it well enough, or maybe I just need to expound on it a little bit more to give you more perspective. But either way, by God's grace, I'm going to get this out to you and articulate it just the way God wants it. And by his grace, I'll do it. Amen? Are y'all in agreement with me? So one of the things that the Lord reminded me of is not too long ago, he woke me up to seeing a vision. And this vision was of an athlete, an NFL football player, sitting on his on a bench, laying back actually, on the bench, and he was taking time to visualize catching impossible catches being possible. So he's taking time to catch what would seem to be impossible catches and practicing seeing himself catch the impossible catches, make it impossible. And the Lord reminded me and said, most successful athletes, most successful business owners are practicing this biblical principle. The majority of his people, the reason why they do not receive or achieve their God-given dreams in life is because of this very principle that they're not applying in their life. They may hear a message like this, but they're not taking time to practice visualizing, seeing themselves obtain their God-given dreams. And the reason for it is because when God gives you a dream, it's impossible. That's why you know it's God. And so God wants to remind you that he's not asking you to figure out how to get to your God-given dream, how to get into your called destination place. All he's asking you to do is to take time and to visualize seeing the impossible becoming possible. And how you do that is you take time each and every single day and keep the vision before your eyes. Now, isn't that what Habakkuk 2:2 says? God says, write the vision down, make it plain. Now, that word vision in the Greek, the original writing, means revelation from God. So when God speaks, he gives you a revelation, and he says, you know what? This is what I see for your marriage. This is what I see for your children. This is what I see for your careers. No matter what promised land that God speaks to you personally about, God has a vision, he has a dream. And he puts that on the inside of us, and he speaks to us. Now, the reason why people don't experience what God is saying to us is because the majority of the time, they don't take time to practice visualizing themselves in that promised land, seeing themselves in the promised land, because their mind begins to reason themselves out of that. Instead of seeing themselves catch the impossible catch, instead of seeing themselves score that touchdown or to score that winning point in the last second of the game, they don't take time to practice seeing themselves doing it. And yet most people in great successful fields that they're in are experiencing great success for a reason. And it's because of this biblical foundational principle that they are applying on a daily consistent basis. What you continually keep before your eyes, you are going to move towards eventually, good or bad. So if you see your marriage as a problem, if you see your kids as a problem, if you see your career as a problem, you're not going to flourish or even finish what God has created and designed you to finish. Because he's seen what seems to be impossible, he's seen possible with him. In Habakkuk 2:2, in the Message translation, he makes it clear one of the things that we need to do is we need to take time to not just think it, but ink it. In other words, write it down. Keep visualizing it, but also make it plain so your eyes can see it. Think about this with me as we read to out of verse 2 and 3. And then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming, and it can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. You've heard me say this many times, that if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you chase a bunch of bunny rabbits, you're not going to catch any. You've got to focus, the power of focus, visualizing, that one very specific God-given dream, and you've got to visualize seeing yourself in that dream, even if it seems impossible, naturally speaking. God never asked us to figure out how to get there. All he asked us to do was believe. I remember a number of years ago, one of the mistakes I made when God was dealing with me on this power of subject of visualization was when I was in college, and I don't even think I had a job at the time. I believe I was in college full-time at Oral Roberts University doing an internship that was volunteer, and Amy was working. But in our budget, it didn't make any sense. God began to talk to me about, Amy had just gotten pregnant with our first child. She's now 13. But at that time, she was just pregnant with our first child. And God starts talking to me about putting $200 a month away for our child, for college. And I just poo-pooed the idea. I thought, oh, that's not even practical. I can't even imagine. That's a problem, isn't it? And I just, for month after month, year after year, I just poo-pooed the idea because I just thought, well, there's just no, we don't even have the ability to put $200 a month away for her future college education. Then eventually God got a hold of my heart and said, I didn't ask you to figure out how you're going to do it. All I asked you to do is to believe that you can do it with me. And finally, he got a hold of my heart, and I started realizing I was missing it. All he was asking me to do was visualize it. It coming to fruition. Not how it's going to happen, but visualizing it, seeing the impossible become possible. How many know that when God gives you the vision, he also eventually gives you the plan? Think about the woman with the issue of blood. What was she doing? She was envisioning herself, if she could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she'd be made whole. So she was taking time visualizing it, then she was confessing it. The Bible says that she decreed it. She kept saying it. If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, a point of release of faith, a contact, a moment where she could say what she was believing for and releasing her faith on the confession of faith, but also taking time to visualize herself healed at the moment that she released her faith. So sure enough, she got a hold of Jesus' garment. She was instantly made whole. Her issue of blood went away. But what was she doing? She was taking time to visualize seeing herself made whole. And then the plan was there to do what she was supposed to do. The vision always comes first. As long as we believe, God will eventually give us the plan of how to get into our promised land. For your marriage, your family, your relationships, your careers, your calling. No matter what it may be, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, socially, in every aspect of life, God is not asking you to figure out how to get into that promised land that he has for you. All he's asking you to do is to take time, visualize catching that impossible catch. Are you with me still? It's getting pretty quiet. I think we better say something to somebody next to you. I think you should point to somebody and say, I'm so glad you're here. You needed to hear this morning. Once again, studies show that whatever we consistently see with our eyes, we're going to move towards. Jack Nicklaus made a comment one time years ago. He said, I never swung a golf club before seeing the sharp, clear image of my desired outcome. In other words, he saw his desired outcome first before he swung a golf club. How many of us are doing this in our life? How many of us are taking time to visualize before we start our day even, seeing ourselves successful, seeing ourselves blessed, seeing ourselves anointed, seeing ourselves as accepted, seeing ourselves as approved, seeing ourselves as forgiven, seeing ourselves as victors and not victims? How many of you are actually really taking time to do this? Self-reflection. Don't bump your neighbor and say, I told you needed to hear this. But right now, I just want to even mention that Pastor Cho, who is one of the leading pastors of the largest ministry in the world, with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that attend his church. And he said the best time to do this, to develop this routine of visualizing your desired outcome of your God-given dreams is right after having time with Jesus in the morning. You're fresh. You've just awakened. You've just had quality time with Jesus. Now begin to visualize the outcome, the desired outcome of your day and your future. That's the best time to implement it. Now, you can keep implementing it throughout the day, but you've got to make sure that you're taking time to do it at some point in your day, visualizing the desired outcome that Jesus has for each and every one of us. Now, God has a very big, bright future. So just like you've heard one of our board of directors say, Terry Seville Foy, who's come and spoken here many times now, and she tells you this thing right here. Dream big and then dream bigger. How many know God wants you to begin to at least dream? And then when you cross that bridge, the further you go, the further you can see. But it starts with, are we taking time to even dream big? Are we letting our setbacks from our past determine our future? Are we letting our disappointments from our past limit the bright future that God has for us? And as long as we're taking time to let God and his word wash us each and every day, we can start fresh and new, not thinking about yesterday, but thinking about the bright future that God has for us. In Deuteronomy 1:11, God reminds us that it's his desire to increase us 1,000 times more than we currently are and to bless us as he has promised us. Psalm 2:8, I love what God just takes and challenges us to think really big. He says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. I will give you the ends of the earth for your possession. In other words, God's saying, I want you to really, really think big with me. Come in sync with me. Come in unity with me. Think with me. Believe with me. Dream with me. And then dream bigger. Because the further you go with Jesus, the further you're going to be able to see. But it starts with just saying, God, what word do you have for me today in season? Where am I missing it? What do you want me to be believing for? We've got to keep practicing, utilizing, exercising our faith, developing our faith each and every day. As a church, when God started speaking to Amy and I when we were in Fort Worth, Texas, about coming back and starting this ministry, he started talking to us about not just impacting this local area, and not just impacting the state of Minnesota, and not just impacting the United States, but he was talking about coming back and starting this ministry that would impact globally the world. And I still to this day can see thousands upon thousands of people worshiping with us every week. I can still see today us reaching millions upon millions of people for Jesus Christ. I can see us planting churches debt-free. I can see us impacting this world, creating history, becoming world changers. And I'm telling you, step by step, God is manifesting his glory, and he's doing what he called us to do. Not because I was the most experienced or the most qualified or most seasoned pastor. I didn't have any of that under my belt. But I had the nerve to believe that with God, all things are possible to him who believes. And that's all he's asking for you and I to do, is to dream and to believe and to begin to visualize seeing yourself as a success. And that's all I'm asking you to do today, is to see yourself blessed, to see yourself accepted, to see yourself approved, to see yourself as a victor and not a victim, to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to see yourself as more than conquerors through Christ who loves you. He wants you to know that you were accepted, approved, anointed. I'm telling you, he wants you to know and feel this, because the more intense you become about the vision, the more clear, the sharper the image becomes, the easier it is to achieve it. But you've got to see it on the inside before it begins to manifest all around you. How many know that the mind thinks not in words, but in pictures? If I say dog, you're going to immediately think about a picture of a dog. And I can get real clear and I can say, yellow dog, big yellow dog, fluffy dog, waggy tail, long tail. And you guys get this visual of how big, yellow, fluffy, big, wonderful tail, wagging, happy dog. And all of a sudden you're getting more and more clear about the vision. If I say blue, you don't spell B-L-U-E. You've got a color that comes to your mind. If I say red, the color comes to your mind. You don't spell out R-E-D in your mind. You've got a picture. The mind thinks in pictures. That's why God says, make it clear. What's the picture? Because the words that you speak are creating life and blessing or death and cursing. What image are we putting before our eyes on a consistent basis? What are we thinking about? Because if we think that our marriage is a problem, if we think that our relationships are a problem, if you think that person sitting next to you is a problem, now no bumping in each other, you know what? It's going to create that kind of fruit, a negative fruit. But if you can see yourself the way God sees you, flourishing and finishing your race, strong, healthy, whole, victorious, rich, blessed in every way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, socially, and you see yourself as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, blessed coming in, blessed going out, everything you put your hands to, prospering and succeeding. Why can I be so confident about this? Because I'm not asking you to do this in your own strength. I'm asking you to do this with Him. Some of the leaders here in the church were gathered together the other night praying over you. And one of the leaders started praying, God, we aren't doing this for you. We're doing this with you. That's the heart of this message. Is God wants you to understand that He's not asking you to do the impossible in your own strength. He's not asking you to put $200 a month away for your children's future education in your own strength and your own abilities. All He's asking you to do is to visualize it. To see yourself doing it, to take those steps of faith, take time to practice seeing yourself blessed in whatever way God's speaking to you personally about. Just take Him at His word. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. I'll give it to you as your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. Ask, what is it that we're asking for? What is the God-given dreams? He says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. He puts those desires there, but He also wants you to experience the desires of your heart. What is it that He's speaking to you about? What's He ministering to you personally about? What's He taking you back to right now in history? Saying, this is where you left off. You stopped believing me for this because you thought it was impossible. Of course it is. You can't do it on your own. It wouldn't be a God-given dream if you could do it on your own. But He's given you a dream in your heart, and He's saying, just believe me, and I'll help you get there. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks is the key word in his heart, so is he. What are we thinking about? Because that's going to get down in our heart, good or bad. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. If I hear people cussing, swearing left and right, well, I know what's gotten into their heart. I'm not here to judge them. I just know what's getting into them. But when you start speaking life and blessing in the midst of a situation you may be going through, now I know what God is speaking to you about. I can see what He's ministering to you about. I can see He's washing you with His word and causing you to see the desired outcome that He wants you to have, not what the devil wants you to have. Who's about to steal, kill, and destroy anyone who will open the door to Him. We've got to shut that door. We've got to resist him and cast down those vain imaginations, the Apostle Paul said. And we've got to put on the right armor. The right armor. You hear what I'm saying? You can put your arms down if you have your arms up, guys. I know that some of you guys are thinking, I know what you're talking about. Somebody, he's talking about BO right now. No, I'm not talking about BO. I'm talking about the right armor, the full armor of God. You've got to put on the helmet of salvation. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to put on the shield of faith. You've got to put on those shoes, the gospel of peace. You've got to put on the garments of praise and the robe of salvation, the robe of righteousness. The garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. You've got to put these things on each day, not because of how strong you are, but you've got to put on God's armor. He needs you to see what He sees. He's got to have you saying what He's saying. He's got to have you doing what He's doing. And as long as you do and you stay in sync with Him, I'm telling you, with Him, all things are possible. But here's the key. The sharper the image, the more clear the image is for your future desired outcome, the more intense you feel about it, the more likely you're going to achieve it. Harvard did a study on visualization. They had everybody write down their goals, but they had a group that took time to visualize achieving their goals before they accomplished their goals. And they came back with a study's research showing that almost 100% success rate to those who not only wrote down their goals, but they visualized seeing themselves accomplishing their goals. Now, the other group who just simply wrote down their goals but didn't take time to visualize achieving their goals, they had about a 55% success rate. Well, that's better than nothing, But I would rather see closer to 100%. How many are with me? Stanford did something very similar. They took a couple of basketball groups, and they had them practice shooting free throws. But one group, they had them practicing shooting free throws on the bench, laying on their back, visualizing shooting and successfully making shot after shot. Now, they both practiced shooting physically, free throw shots. But the group who took time to visualize first before they got out there to shoot, their results were significantly higher than those who simply practice shooting free throws. Those who practice visualizing, seeing themselves successful in life, are the ones who are going to achieve much more success than those who simply just write down their goals. Now, it's important to write down your goals. That's better than nothing. But if you keep it before your eyes, Jim Carrey, and I know you've heard some great examples, but Jim Carrey used to do the same thing. Way back before he was known, what he would do is he would continually see and confess out loud, hearing himself say, certain directors love his ability, his acting ability. They love having him in the acting business. And the people he greatly respected in the movie industry, he kept confessing, kept visualizing, kept seeing himself as a great success. He even had the nerve to write out a check for $10 million. And he put a date on it right around Thanksgiving in 1995 as a sign to keep before his eyes of faith, as a rendering for becoming successful in the movie industry, a check being given to him in the movie industry. Now, 3 to 5 years prior to 1995 is when he wrote the check out. Did you know in 1995 he got a call right about Thanksgiving time that he was about to receive a $10 million check for doing Dumb and Dumber? God is saying, all these people are in the acting business, the successful people in these different industries, they're taking my principles and they're applying these things of visualizing, seeing themselves, getting what their desired outcome is. Now, where God wants his people to prosper the most is right here with his family. He wants his family to see themselves as a success, to see themselves as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, to see themselves, you know, getting there, achieving their desired outcome. You don't have to figure out how you're going to get there. You got to stop. I love all of our analytical people because they help us sometimes see things that we may not be seeing. But sometimes that analytical mind gets in the way because it starts reasoning, well, we can't do that. You see the statistics and this is what we're going to, you know, that's being unrealistic. You know, with God, things are going to be unrealistic. They're going to be impossible. But that's where we have to set aside our analytical minds and say, with God, all things are possible to him who believes. Einstein said, the power of imagination is better than education. He also said, your imagination is the preview of life's coming attractions. Isn't that the truth? Remember, vision comes first. The ideas of how to accomplish that vision come second. As long as you continue to see yourself as a success, to see yourself blessed, to see yourself anointed, to see yourself approved, to see yourself as forgiven, to see yourself as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You hearing me today? As long as you keep visualizing, seeing what God is saying about you, as he is, as Christ is in all of his glory, so am I in this world. What does that mean? I'm forgiven. What does that mean? I'm blessed. What does that mean? I'm honored. What does that mean? I'm highly favored. Because as Christ is in all of his glory right now, so are you in this world, the Apostle John said. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6 says, nothing they imagined was impossible. God gave us this imagination to dream. Why have so many people stopped dreaming? You used to dream playing trucks and cars when you were a kid, playing Barbie dolls and imagining seeing yourself marry Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. I mean, you're sitting there imagining things as a little kid and having all these ideas, and then all of a sudden you get a little older and maybe you have some setbacks and some disappointments, and all of a sudden you decide to limit your future because it didn't come to fruition the way you wanted it to. And there are some disappointments that are holding some people back from even dreaming today because they feel like that little boy, that little girl in their heart has been so disappointed they don't want to take the risk of getting hurt anymore. So they become real practical, sensible. But you know the problem with that is they hold other people back. Kind of like that whole monkey analogy, the study that they did had the bananas up on a pole. And every time the bananas would try, the monkeys would get up to try to get the bananas, they would hose them down. And they would eventually change out the monkeys. And eventually, the monkeys that were not even hosed down, because the other monkeys that had got hosed down kept teaching the other ones, no, 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 don't climb up there. And they'd pull the other ones down. Eventually, none of the original monkeys were in there, but they were holding back the new monkeys that kept coming in because they set a limit for themselves. They couldn't see themselves getting those because they were told they couldn't. It's like the whole elephant analogy. When they're a little baby circus elephants, they post them to a great big stake in the ground. So every time that little baby elephant tries to get out of that little circle, it gets choked and it stops in that little circle. And eventually, as those great big animals get huge, they just put a little tiny wooden stake in the ground that's barely even in the ground. And they think they can't break that stake because they were taught as a little baby elephant, you can't get outside of that little circle. How many of us have set the limits of our future because of setbacks and disappointments? Today is a new day. God is refreshing you. He's hitting the reset button. I love playing the game Wii with my kiddos sometimes. I haven't played it enough lately. But the fact is I love that because, you know, you can get to next levels in basketball and so on. But, you know, the best thing about this game that I enjoy, and I'm not much of a video game player, but I do like Wii. It's a little more cleaner and more pure than the other video games that are out there. So I love playing bowling and stuff like that. But, you know, I can get my score real high, and then all of a sudden I come in and I haven't played it for 2-3 months, and I start playing, and it's like, ooh, I feel a little shaky, and my score is way down. You know, before the game is over, I can hit the reset button so it doesn't affect my score. Hey, I'm just being serious with you. God is saying, I'm hitting the reset button today. I don't care what the scoreboard looks like. I don't care what you did wrong. I don't care what happened to you in your past. I'm hitting the reset button today so you can go to the next level with me. He wants you to continue to see yourself rising above the circumstances and situations that your life has thrown at you, the curveballs that Satan has thrown your way, maybe some of the dumb choices that somebody else made that affected you. You know what I'm saying there? Don't nudge your neighbor now. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, do not cast away your confidence. Keep doing your part, imagining the impossible becoming possible with Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Say that with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Romans 8:31 reminds us that if God's for us, then who can be against us? Now, the theme scripture for today that I've had in my heart all week as I've been thinking about going in today is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, I think you should say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Christ means the anointed one in his anointing. It doesn't say I can do all things. It says, I can do all things through Christ, his anointed one, in his anointing, who strengthens me. We're not doing this for God. You're not doing your job for God. You're doing it with him. He's your partner. He's your friend. He's endorsing you. He's giving you his blessing. He's giving you his anointing to overcome whatever it is, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. You're not on your own. You don't have to figure out how to get to that desired outcome. All you have to do is believe that you can see yourself in your desired outcome. And here's going to be so important for you to know. Proverbs reminds us that who we surround ourselves, who we choose as our friends, is so vitally important. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said, you can be friends with many, but trust few. It's okay to be a little skeptical. I'm trying to encourage our analytical people now today. It's okay to be a little skeptical. That means don't just open your heart to anybody and everybody and trust anybody and everybody. Trust is earned. You need to know who your inner circle of friends, who your mastermind group is. Are they 100% for you? Do they really, really want your best? Because if they don't want your best and you're surrounding yourself with them, and the five people that you hang the most around with today is who you're going to become like in 5 years. You're going to look like them. You're going to smell like them. You're going to dress like them. You're going to sound like them. Who you surround yourself with right now is who you're going to become like. I really don't have any good friends. Well, there's lots of good CDs and autobiographies out there and books. I'm telling you that when the student is ready, the teacher will show up. As long as you're hungry for growth, as long as you want to learn, as long as you're seeking wisdom, pursuing wisdom and discernment, God will help you with giving you good and wonderful friends. But who is your mastermind group? Whether we're talking about finances or we're talking about business, who are the people that we're surrounding ourselves with? Marriage, family. You know, if you're around people who are critical, talking about their spouse, guess what? You're going to start thinking about your spouse in a critical way. You've got to choose wisely who your friends are. Who is your inner circle people? Because if they're not 100% for you, they're going to hold back on ideas that will help you move forward. Because they really don't want to see you succeed. They like the underdogs because they're under them. But the moment that their brother or sister starts rising above them, and if they're an underdog thinker only, and they really don't have your back 100%, and they're not 100% for you, guess what? They're going to hold back the reins, and they're not going to share wisdom with you. They're not going to help you make better choices for your life because they would rather be the head above you and not beneath you. Are they 100% for you? If you think about Thomas Edison or Henry Ford, these inner circle of mastermind groups that they had and became the success that they became, it was because they bounced ideas off each other. They were 100% for each other. If you got friends in your life that are not 100% for you, this is where you make a decision. Say, I think I'm going to love this person from the distance. I'll send a thinking about you card or a text occasionally and just let them know I'm thinking about you, praying for you today, but I'm not going to let them get into my inner circle, my mastermind group. I'm going to choose those friends wisely. If you want success in any area of your life, you've got to choose wisely who that inner circle mastermind group is and then connect with them and begin to share the ideas that God has blessed you with and bounce it off of them and say, what do you think? Because if they're 100% for you, they're going to say, yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily for right now. Great idea, but I think you really better pray about this. Or they're going to say, yes, great idea, and I'm right behind you on this. I'm going to invest in this with you. I am telling you, this is going to be a great thing. And they're going to bless you. But listen, the thing is that God's going to confirm he's your best friend first and foremost, right? He's 100% for you. So don't feel like you're all alone. If Jesus is the only friend you have, isn't that enough? And don't get me wrong, as long as Jesus is your best friend, he's going to start surrounding you with people that are 100% for you. God wants your best, his best, to unfold in your life. He desires a 100% success rate in your marriage, in your family, your relationship, in your career, in every area. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about Elijah and Elisha. Elisha hung around Elijah and he got what? A double portion. Think about Joshua who hung around Moses and he ends up leading God's people into the promised land. Think about the disciples who hung around Jesus and they changed the world. But think about Samson for a moment. And he hung around compromisers. And he compromised his destiny. It's who we choose to surround ourselves with determines on how far we go in life. I can imagine you healed. I can imagine you setting new standards for your family. I can imagine you debt-free. I can imagine you blessed. I can imagine you forgiven. I can imagine you as a success. I can imagine you as a winner. I can imagine you as a victor and not a victim. I can imagine you blessed coming in, blessed going out. I can imagine you anointed, appointed, whole, victorious, rich, blessed, and prosperous in every way. All I'm asking for you to do is to hook up your faith and say, I agree with you, Pastor. This is all it starts with right now, is just knowing that I am, Jesus is 100% for your future. I've even told staff members of ours, I said, if you get a great opportunity out there and you know it means leaving High Point Church to get that desired outcome, guess what? I'm going to be one of your biggest fans, and I'm going to get behind you, and I'm not going to say, woe is me, what are we going to do without you? Oh, please don't leave me. I'm going to say, I think that's a great idea, and I'm going to get behind you, and I'm going to endorse you, and I'm going to write letters, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help you reach your God-given dreams and destiny. Because if I can't be 100% for you, you have no right, you have no reason to be here in my presence. But I am telling you today, I see you and I imagine you being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the country, and everything you put your hands to, prospering and succeeding. And I will do everything I can to equip you and to challenge you to go just a little higher and to keep coming up and keep growing with me. And I think this is as I bring this to a closure today, I think this is for somebody. Might be just for one, or it could be for all of us to benefit from, but in the last 2 to 3 weeks, I've been sitting there just taking time to read through. I've read through the New Testament, been reading through the Old Testament now, and I've been sitting there thinking about how God's endorsement, his partnership, his friendship with us is what makes the biggest difference. If you think about Abraham with me, or Isaac, or Jacob, or Joseph, or Moses, Joshua, you name it. If you think about any of these people, you know what? They had some setbacks in their life, didn't they? They had some serious challenges in their life. But God still got them to their destination place. And this morning, I was sitting there thinking about the Apostle Paul, and just there's so many biblical heroes in the faith of mine that there's so many people I could talk about. But I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. Because here he is, it looks like a major setback. He's now in prison for a couple of years, locked up, and he's waiting to meet Nero. And here he is in a situation where he could have sat back passively and just sat on his duff and said, woe is me, I'm supposed to be out there preaching the gospel, I'm supposed to be doing this, I could be doing this, but here I am locked up in this dungeon, and what can I do with my life? And he could have sat there and thought of himself as a victim, but instead he thought, you know what, I'm going to send some encouraging letters out there. So he wrote a letter called the Ephesians. He wrote a letter called Philippians. He wrote a letter called the Colossians. And he wrote another letter called the Philemon to these different people. And he encouraged them, not knowing that those letters that were being sent out were Holy Ghost inspired, that would transform yours and my life today. Because he did not let those setbacks and those disappointments hold him back from his destiny and becoming everything God had called and created him to be. And sometimes in life, we have these situations, they happen to us, and we say, why, God? Why is this happening to me? Why? And if you get stuck in the why, guess what? You're going to get out of what his destination manifestation for the sons and daughters of God are called to be in that situation. I think about the Apostle Paul in the situation where now he's on the ship, and watch what he does. In fact, read it with me. I think you don't have to read it with me. I'll read it to you, but you can follow along on the screens. He's warning these people, don't go out into the sea. He's on his way to Rome. He's supposed to be on his way to Rome. But now they've all lost hope. The scripture says they're without hope. They haven't seen land. They're being tossed to and fro. And they're now without hope. How many know that when you're without hope, God's hope comes finding you? Thank God for that. But after long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Hey, is it okay to say sometimes, I told you so? The Apostle Paul's showing us that he can do that sometimes. It's not always the best advice, but, here is a good point. You can see a little bit of frustration in his tone of voice right now. Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. But watch how he keeps his faith, even in the midst of some frustration. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. In other words, sometimes it's not even the devil. As much as we'd like to blame it on the devil, sometimes it's just somebody's dumb decision that affects our life. Could have been our own dumb decision. I'm trying to make sure there's no elbowing anybody right now, because this is not the time to raise your hand. I know what you're talking about, Pastor, because that may cause me to think that the person you're sitting next to caused you some heartache. And so right now, just sit real still and quiet, because sometimes somebody else's dumb decisions and choices affect our life. And if we start thinking as ourselves as a victim and get so frustrated and say, I told you so, and stay in that frustrated mode instead of getting back into faith and staying in faith and hearing from God that no matter what happens in our life, that God is with us. Amen. Think about now they get going, they get to the land, thank God, you know, the ship is lost, the cargo's lost, but their lives are saved. So they get to this little island called Malta. Now, Malta is a little island. This is the great Apostle Paul on this little island. I mean, what in the world is the great apostle doing on the little island of Malta? And he could have been saying, why, God? I'm supposed to be in Rome right now, and here I am on this Malta island and missed out on his mission. Because sometimes the whys in our life don't make sense until the manifestation of God's revelation begins to be glorified at that moment. So here he is. These people are showing kindness towards them, and they start building a fire. And the Apostle Paul, he's one of those great preachers. He rolls up his sleeves, and he gets in there, and he starts helping them build the fire with them. Now, you think it's getting worse and worse and worse, and now it finally gets a little better? Well, all of a sudden, a snake grabs a hold of his hand. He just doesn't bite him. He actually hangs on. And he's attached to the Apostle Paul's hand. But what he does next is so important. I'm going to ask you to touch your neighbor in just a moment. He shook it off. Turn to your neighbor, touch him, and say, shake it off. Because the Apostle Paul was just bit, and he could have gotten bitter because of being just bit. But he didn't get bitter. He could have stayed in his misery. He could have stayed and felt like this is just miserable. It just keeps getting worse. How many know and can relate with the Apostle Paul that when you think you're done fighting the fight of faith and all of a sudden a serpent bites you and it's like, is it going to get any worse? And you think it's all over, but all of a sudden the enemy gets you good on another one. And yet God is saying, wait a minute, I'm not done. The Apostle Paul shakes it off. And at first, you know how people can be kind of fickle? And they're thinking, the people on the island are like, this guy's a murderer. See, he's getting justice right now. God is going to kill him right now. You know, he's some kind of murderer. He must have did something bad. He's a sinner. And he might have prevailed over the sea, but now he's done. And they sat there. They're like the biggest critics, the Apostle Paul, at that very moment, thinking he's going to die now. And all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul just keeps living. You know why I call him fickle? Is because he's got this snake bite. Nobody offers to come and suck the poison out or give him an ice pack or anything like that. They are sitting back on their duffs waiting for this man to die. Talk about love, huh? I mean, they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the next thing they're saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Sometimes people can be really fickle. And yet the Apostle Paul just doesn't die. And now they start calling him, he's a god! He's a god! He's a god! Because the sons of God are going to manifest as long as they stay in the revelation of God. Rather than living in resentment and living in regret, they're living in the revelation of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm not done here. The Apostle Paul, listen to me, I'm going to get you to Rome. It's not over. So when the snakes come biting, I'm telling you, all you have to do is just shake it off, because your destination place is calling you ahead, and nothing is going to stop you or God Almighty, who is partnering with you, who is your friend, who is your greatest advocate, who is your mediator, who is he is your greatest defense, he is your attorney. I'm telling you, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. What he's begun, he's going to finish it to the end, okay? Just shake it off. Turn to your next neighbor. Say, shake it off. You know what I love about Jesus Christ? That same hand that was bit, 3 days later, the chief hears about this situation that took place. Now this guy's like a god. He's welcomed into his house to have a little dinner with him. And he wheels out his dad. This is kind of what I envision. And his dad's sick. Apostle Paul, I can just imagine him saying, what's wrong with your dad? He's sick. If the Apostle Paul was thinking of himself as a victim, as he was thinking, I'm just miserable in this situation. I'm supposed to be in Rome, and here I'm in this little island, Malta. He would have missed out on some of the greatest opportunities that God had for him right there. Instead, he rises to the occasion. He prays for this man. I can just see him just jumping off and running up to his dad and this man's dad and laying his hands, the hand, the same hand that was bit by that serpent. He wasn't living in his pain. He was letting the healing of God Almighty bring the glory of his presence through that hand that was bit. And now that hand has become a healing hand. And now this dad gets healed. And now this dinner house becomes a church. And the people from the islands start coming to the Apostle Paul. And they're all getting healed, because the Apostle Paul is not living in his regret. He's not living in his resentment. He's not living in his past. He's not living in his pain. He's living in God's revival. He's allowing for the anointing to flow through that hand that was bit. He didn't get bitter. He might have got bit, but he got better. And he helped others get better. Your assignment is where the supply is. Now the Apostle Paul is thinking, now I understand why I'm here. Now I understand this whole thing with the shipwreck and these stupid people and the choices. They didn't listen to me. Now I understand why I am where I'm at. God has used these things. Even if the devil tried to take me out, even if he tried to steal, kill, and destroy, God's not done with me. He's not finished with my life. And right now, it's only beginning, because God promises us that the latter days are going to be better than the former days. And so here he is in this situation, and he's gotten better, not bitter. And the glory of God is manifesting all around him and through him. Your supply is in where your assignment is. And in Acts chapter 28, I believe it's verse 10, now the people of the island, they do this. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. In other words, there is supply in the assignment, in the mission. And as long as you don't see yourself as a victim, but a victor, and even if the enemy got in a good lick, even if somebody made some really bad choices, including yourself, and you're in a situation and you're like, what am I doing on this little island? All I've been doing is wanting a ring on my finger and he won't even text me back. That might be your Malta. I don't know who that's for. You may be on that island, a Malta, thinking, what am I doing here? And if you sit there and keep asking yourself, why, Lord, why? What's the reason? You're going to miss out on the mission and miss the whole purpose of how God takes and works all things together for your good and for his glory. That he is bigger than that snake bite. He is bigger than the people who make the bad choices that affect your life. That he is bigger than the situation you might have gotten yourself into, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if he's for you, then who can be against you? I'll close with this thought. Joseph said to his brothers, you may have intended evil towards me, but God intended to preserve the lives of many with a mighty hand. It's time to see yourself in the eyes of the Lord, that you can do all things through Christ and his anointing who strengthens you. If you receive that, would you say amen? Do take a moment and bow your heads with me as we bring services to a closure. Lord, we thank you so much for our time together. Thank you for reminding us that your anointing is so much greater than the yokes and burdens in our life that it literally destroys the yokes and burdens in our life. As long as we continue to keep doing our part and seeing ourselves in Rome or our grace place or our destination place, visualizing the impossible, becoming possible, with you we believe all things are possible to those who believe. And today we simply take faith and encouragement from your word, reminding ourselves all you want us to do is to visualize the desired outcome that you have for us. Thank you for your encouragement as you continue to equip us to prevail and to win in life. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask with every head bowed and every eye closed, those who are watching today online, maybe you're here, somebody invited you, maybe you drove by and you just thought, well, that would be a fun church to go check out. But you're sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? And God reminds us that he orders the steps of a good man, a good person. God's got you here for a divine purpose, a divine destiny. And today he wants you to know him. So I'm going to ask you to be real honest with the Lord Jesus right now. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm not talking about knowing about him, but I'm talking about really, really knowing him personally. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. You've been finding yourself following a stranger's voice, getting off course left and right. Today is a day where you can make a decision to say, I am going to purpose in my heart to know my Savior's voice. It's not enough to just know about him. I have to know him personally. Maybe you're in a situation where you've accepted Christ, but you know that deep down in your heart, you're not following him the way that you could or should. Whether it's a first-time decision of accepting Christ or a recommitment to the Lord Jesus, I've got good news for you. In Romans 10:13, it reminds us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you're here saying, Pastor, I need to accept Christ, or Pastor, I really need to recommit my life to the Lord Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed all over this auditorium, those that are watching online, would you slip up your hands all over this room right now, just acknowledge, and I need to accept Christ or recommit my life to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your honesty and courage. I know it takes courage to do this and faith to do it. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Okay, thank you for being honest. I appreciate it. You can put your hand down. Let's do this. Let's take a moment and pray with these people who are making quality choices and decisions. Those that are watching online right now, we ask you to pray this prayer with us. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. I want you to think about what you're praying. Be sincere with it, and I believe God will do a miracle with your life. Would you follow me now in this prayer? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. Thank you for dying on the cross for all of my sins. I commit my life to you now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.